There is change leading up to the first debate. Somebody who lives in knows the polls inside and out, what to look for and what not, is Kellyanne Conway. Kellyanne joins us now. She's Donald Trump's campaign manager. Kellyanne, welcome back.
Hi, Brian. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's not boring, is it, this job you have?
Not at all. And I think everybody should applaud the fact that we have a race on our hands. Isn't it more fun than listening to all these pro-Clinton pundits 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, saying, look at the polls, the race is over. Look at the polls, the race is over. Many of them now, Brian, don't want to do what you just did, which is talk about the polls. The polls are tightening. Mr. Trump has a fair amount of Republicans now in his column. That was not always the case. I think they like hearing about policy, taking the case directly to the voters every day. She spends most of her time at fundraisers with donors. He spends most of his time out on the hustings in these states with voters, and it's making a difference.
She's also preparing feverishly, going through Donald Trump's tapes from all his Republican debates, somewhere as many as 13 people, 12 people are on the stage. Kellyanne, have you also reviewed those tapes? Is that helping you at all? And if so, are you comfortable sharing your conclusions?
Well, we are well acquainted with the debate tapes of Mrs. Clinton and in her past debates, including this year with Bernie Sanders, where she got tripped up quite a bit because here she is trying to be a little bit more of a centrist, a little bit more of a moderate like her husband was, his winning formula in 1992, not realizing that the modern Democratic Party it would never welcome Bill Clinton in 1992 now. It's considerably to the left. So she's easily tripped up by Bernie Sanders on policy, on her record of failures. We're very aware of that. And, of course, we're very aware of Mr. Trump's both style and his substance in these debates against these other Republicans. He started out at the Fox News debate on August 6, 2015, dead center in the middle because he was leading in the polls, Brian, and he never left that place. He was always – nobody was able to unseat him through the debate process, through paid advertising. Mm-hmm. And I think people should remember that, folks who are questioning – the way he prepares to the debates. I mean, these are two very different people. You saw it on full display at NBC's Commander-in-Chief Forum 2 weeks ago, where all of the polls afterwards said Donald Trump beat Hillary Clinton. Why? Well, because her answers are so lengthy. They're so lawyerly. She only got, I think, six or seven questions,
right,
about seven questions that night because she just takes forever. She's apologizing. She's dissembling. She's deflecting. Donald Trump's answers are concise and they're confident. And they're pointed the way a leader answers questions, frankly.
Kellyanne, have you noticed a difference between the 2008 Hillary Clinton going against Barack Obama and the 2016 going against Bernie Sanders?
Clearly. I mean, the 2008 Hillary Clinton had the confidence of a front runner. This was her race to lose. She was talking more about, remember, she was against same-sex marriage. She had been for closed borders in her career. She was, I think at the time, even for safe, legal, and rare abortions, the way her husband tried to pretend he was in the early 90s. In 2016, she tried to out Sanders. And part of that is because, again, how leftward her party has gone away from the mainstream. But part of it also is that she had in Bernie Sanders a popular figure who was appealing directly to the people, very populist in nature, who was taking her on for the exorbitant wealth the Clintons had amassed since they had come out of the White
right.
House, quote, dead broke, for her failures on foreign policy, for her being out of step with what he would consider to be a more progressive domestic agenda, economically and otherwise.
But I know the policies have changed, Kellyanne, but I'm talking about her performance.
Well, I just felt she was more confident in 2008. In 2016, she was easily flummoxed by Bernie Sanders, if you go back and look at most of those debates. She was easily, taken off guard. She seemed much more defensive. I see in Hillary Clinton 2008, in those earlier debates, by the way, when you also had Joe Biden and John Edwards and Chris Dodd was in those debates. People forget all that. You had these people in the debates. She was very confident. She had commanded the stage. I saw a lot less confidence
right.
and a lot more weariness in the debate stage in 2016 stylistically.
So there's two incidents just happened tragically in Tulsa. A black man was killed in a clash with law enforcement. We see the footage, but we don't know the details. And then something happened in North Carolina, too. We do not think the officer had a body cam, but they're saying that this black man, there's one said he had a book. The cop said he had a gun. We don't know. But it didn't stop Hillary Clinton from weighing in on the Steve Harvey show. So let me tell you, is this somebody acting like you have to quickly in the moment, or is this irresponsible? Let's listen.
Maybe I can, by speaking directly to white people, say, look, this is not who we are. We've got to do everything possible to improve policing, to go right at implicit bias.
So she's essentially saying there's bias, police have to be improved, and she could speak for white people.
Well, it's just unbelievable that she would do that before we even know the facts, the details. I think that's an over-politicization of a situation where we don't know the facts. A death, the loss of life is always tragic, and I feel like we all should be look at it very nonpartisanly, not even bipartisan, not even bipartisanly, if you will. I'm using a new adverb here, Brian. But this is what she does. It's like she doesn't pass up a moment to weigh in and try to score points and score votes. We also saw overnight, if you read the newspapers, that a number of police officers have now been injured. I saw 12 or 14, that's correct. And there's also, I read a Walmart had been losing all. It's also the reaction that people have after these. But I think the best answer sometimes is no answer. And jumping to conclusions. But I'm going to see how many in the mainstream media actually play that clip today and harangue Hillary Clinton for that, Brian, because all Donald Trump did on Saturday night was he was out in Colorado and he said, we heard about the bombs in New York. And, of course, they do end up being bombs. And, of course, it did end up being a radical Islamic terrorist who ex-wife says he hates America and hates gays. And his father said his son was a terrorist. But Donald Trump is completely harangued by the media for jumping to conclusions and saying the word bombs. And Hillary Clinton said bombings on her plane. So let's just see the double standard at play here. She just jumped on this not knowing any of the facts. And so I think that's where politicians, and she is quite a typical one, get themselves into trouble, where everything is seen through a political lens.
So I noticed that Donald Trump, who wants to be president, and the first major step is going to be a Monday night to Hofstra, is going to be in Cleveland with a mostly African-American crowd, just introduced by Don King a short time ago and addressing a rally, I believe. But Kellyanne, he said this last night, and many people in the black community are saying this is an overstatement. Let's listen.
We're going to rebuild our inner cities because our African-American communities are absolutely in the worst shape that they've ever been in before, ever, ever, ever.
Overstatement there, considering where we've come from as a country?
Well, he's talking about in recent history. This is just a plea. I think people like to dissect every single word and adjective Donald Trump delivers. But let's look at his overall message, Brian, which is, why in the world do we keep electing Democrats in our inner cities? What has that gotten us? The jobless rate, the fatherlessness, the poverty, the homelessness, the broke, crumbling schools academically and physically. We can do better. And by the way, all of our communities, regardless of ethnicity and race, deserve better. And he talks to many African-American advisors who are talking to him about what they see, what they feel in these inner cities. And he is taking a great deal of counsel from a number of people who live there and work there and are delivering to him the frustrations and concerns and, frankly, the solutions as well.
Right.
And so let's not lose his overall message, which is we can do better and you deserve better. And I give him enormous credit. Sure, Republican presidential candidates in the past have showed up at the NAACP meeting or given one speech here or one speech there and sort of checked the box. He's gone to a black church in Detroit. He went to Flint, Michigan. He is now doing this. He's meeting with black pastors today, and then he's having a town hall with your Fox colleague, mm-hmm. Sean Hannity, about this very thing. So you saw the NBC SurveyMonkey, the LA Times poll on Sunday came out and showed this enormous uptick, explosive uptick in support for Donald Trump among African Americans.
And finally, Kellyanne, I understand Corey Lewandowski, who did your job before you took it, is still being paid by the Donald Trump Organization, therefore suspended by CNN. What could you tell us on that?
So what I understand is this is his severance pay, and it was listed on the FEC as a payment going to his consulting firm, which is called Green Monster. But this is part of his severance. As I understand, when Corey left the employ of the campaign in June, about 3 months ago, Brian, he received severance pay. This is what I understand from the campaign officials who were there at the time and also from our lawyers, and that he is, that's part of his severance. So he is not part of the campaign. He is a paid advisor on CNN, and I think he's excellent at his job, frankly. He, Corey is, does not have a formal or informal role with the campaign whatsoever because he is paid, but I really do hope, I think that a phone call would have helped. I don't know that we needed all the fireworks if it was designed to embarrass Corey or the campaign. That's too bad. I see folks who are paid by CNN who also work for Hillary Clinton's super PACs and other allied interests. But that's the answer. The answer is Corey was awarded severance. As I understand, I was not part of the campaign then. Mm-hmm. He was awarded severance, and that those payments are coming in on a monthly basis.
Kellyanne Conway.
If that changes, I'll let you know.
You got it. Kellyanne Conway, thanks so much.
Thank you, Brian. All the best.